Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'd like to welcome a new station to the Minnesota Military Radio Network today in Rochester, Minnesota, News Talk 1340 KROC AM, which will air the show on Sunday mornings at 7:30. This brings our network to 23 radio stations all over the state of Minnesota. If your favorite outstate station isn't carrying the show, please ask them to go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and contact us just to see how easy it is to get this show for free so they can hear all of the stories that we share each week in your favorite town. On today's show, we'll find out how to properly transition out of the military and into a new civilian career. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash.
More than 70 years ago, in April of 1942, 64 Minnesota soldiers were subjected to unspeakable suffering during what is now known as the Bataan Death March. 75,000 Allied service members, imprisoned and weak by months of starvation and disease, were forced to undergo the five-day march. Japanese forces would kill those who were unable to continue, and thousands were mistreated and died. Of the 64 original Minnesota soldiers called up from the Brainerd and Park Rapids-based Company A, 194th Tank Battalion, only 32 survived to return home after the war. These heroic Minnesota Guardsmen endured some of the worst conditions imaginable during their captivity and showed the strength and resilience to survive. Today, I pay tribute to all the men who endured the Bataan Death March. Their sacrifice paved the way for today's Minnesota National Guard.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. And while you're there, check out our podcast featuring Harold Curvers by typing Bataan, B-A-T-A-A-N, in the search device to hear his story of Bataan in World War II. Joining me now to talk about transition assistance is Vince Hokkanen and Alan Jorgensen. Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Chaplain, welcome back to you. You've been on the show several times. Can you share with our listeners how long you've been in the military?
I'm in my 10th year overall, two tours, essentially. I was active duty back in the 80s, and then I came back in 2007 as a chaplain.
So you you got the calling and went out and studied to be a chaplain, and you've been on several shows with us, Christmas shows, and one show in particular from a couple of years ago, Spiritual Healing for our Combat Veterans. That was a great show.
What a privilege that was, yes. And it's true, with reference to calling, went to seminary and was listening to a different radio program on a different station and whatnot years ago. And there was a call out at that time for military chaplains that they needed chaplains to go forward, you know, during the deployment cycles. And we were low. And so I responded to that call, had a seminary degree. It was a easy fit for me, and I had prior service. So I came back in, responded, lost a bunch of weight, and here I am.
And I think on the last big deployment that we had at 2700 Red Bulls, you stayed behind but were active duty and were ministering to the families.
That's right. I was taking care of them as a rear deck chaplain. That's right.
And all of that experience, Chaplain Hokkanen, set you up with a lot of personal knowledge to become a transition assistance advisor, didn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, a lot of the things that we do in this lane is similar to what we do as chaplain, obviously minus the religious piece, and that's a very important part for our service members. But with reference to the transitions, we have a lot of soldiers coming off Title 10 or coming off of deployments, looking at career changes, and they have all these manner of benefits that they're entitled to, and we want to help them gain that access. And so we're a point of contact for them that we can help them develop a transition plan and then the best courses of action and get them the right people that submit forms, sign documents.
Great spot for you to be able to use all that experience. Alan, how long have you been in the military?
Well, I've been in for 26 years. I started off in active duty and then left active duty to go to college, joined the National Guard, and been in the National Guard ever since.
And you're a first sergeant now.
That is correct. I'm a first sergeant with Alpha Company 834th ASB.
And so now you work, your full-time job is working side-by-side with the captain here on transition assistance.
Yes, and it's an honor to work with him, and it's an honor to work for the veterans of Minnesota.
I'm just a baby compared to him, Tom. 26 years, my gosh, eh?
But captain, every good captain needs either a sergeant major or a first sergeant to help him out, doesn't he?
Oh, absolutely. Hey, yeah, they're the ones that direct things.
That's how it works in the
Army. Tell us what to do, Top.
Alan, can you tell us what is transition assistance?
Well, just the transitioning from the military to the civilian, a lot of times there's struggles and some hurdles and a lot of red tape that the veterans, you know, are unaware of and kind of takes them by surprise. So what Vince and I do is we just, you know, we identify the issues, identify the problems, and be the conduit of information to direct the soldiers and their families to the benefits that they've earned and are entitled to.
So, Chaplain, your focus is, I would guess, the Minnesota Army and Air National Guard and when our soldiers and airmen come back from deployments and when they're about ready to process out or retire, and they come over and see you and learn about all of the things available to help them in that transition.
Yeah, you know, Tom, the system is so huge. There's so many avenues and portals and things that soldiers are just, you know, given the fire hose when it comes to information. And so where do you find a person that can help guide them through all the stuff that there is in terms of information? Well, part of what we do is cut the red tape, because a lot of soldiers and airmen feel like they're just overwhelmed by the opportunities that are out there for them. But we can really help focus their energies and their effort and get them to the right places and the right people, cut through all that red tape and get them signed up for the things that they need, or not just agencies, but people within those agencies that we've established contacts with and built coalitions with to help them get the access they need. So they're not dealing with a website or a phone number, but they're dealing with a person. They're working with someone who understands their situation. You don't have to tell the story five times again. Because when I make a referral, I tell them, hey, this is the guy. This is what his situation is. Help him.
Instead of just going to a website and trying to fuss around and try to figure out who's this and who's that and never getting anybody on the phone.
That's right. I always say we offer the best things: benefits, entitlements, service records, and transitions of any kind, whether it be medical, employment, or education.
We're speaking with Vince Hokkanen and Alan Jorgensen about transition assistance on Minnesota Military Radio. Alan, I want to ask you about post-deployment needs. What do our soldiers and airmen come back? What kind of issues do they come back with and come to you about?
Well, a lot of times they come to me and they know there's benefits and resources out there. They just don't know what they're eligible for and how to access them. That's very common. And a lot of what I've been seeing lately is education and also employment resources that they're looking for. They're either looking for employment because they for whatever reason don't have a job, or they're underemployed, which is a huge thing. A lot of soldiers come back from deployment and they might have been in charge of 20, 30 people, and and then they come back to a small cubicle and their job no longer has any meaning, and they want to find some other profession or some other job that's going to kind of help fill that void that they're now lacking because of their experiences overseas. So,
Vince, Allen mentioned the education benefits. When I got back from Vietnam, the GI Bill was pretty simple. There was just kind of one version of it, and you go in and apply, and you go to school. There's a lot of versions now, aren't there?
Yeah, there's 1606, 1607. You got state tuition. You got federal. You got all these lanes. There's a benefit that the state offers overall in terms of, you know, a grant process. So there's all manner of benefits that can be accessed. They can transfer those benefits to their family members. They got to take on additional commitment because it's part of recruiting effort. But yeah, the service members to these days, they make their commitment to the military, do 6 years, and we're going to get them an education.
So is it generally well known within the Minnesota Army and Air National Guard that if you've got questions on things like education assistance and the GI Bill, they can come to the transition assistance office?
By all means, everybody needs a guy, Tom. Mm-hmm. You know, you got a guy for insurance, you got a guy for a car, you got a guy who fixes the boat. Who's the guy who does the benefits for National Guard? Hey, that's us.
Who's the guy? Alan, is he your guy? No, you're one of the guys, too.
Yeah. Well, he's a good guy to have, and so am I believe.
Absolutely.
We try to do our best to get our name out there and visit some of the armories and the full-time staff and kind of spread the word on what we have available for them.
If it's relocation, if it's education, training, financial assistance, health, life insurance, veterans benefits, disabled benefits, employment assistance, legal assistance, looking at a career change or whatever it is, we're going to get you the right people that can help you.
And Captain, Chaplain, and all the different
Chaplain, that's a good one, Tom.
Chaplain, we're going to change your name to Chaplain.
Yeah.
So you're the transition assistance guy, you're a captain, and you're a chaplain, too. So when they come in, it's full service.
It is. Assistant. It really is. We'll take care of all manners.
Gentlemen, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll dive into this a little bit, a little deeper, and find out about some of those other issues you talked about. We're speaking with Vince Hokanen and Alan Jorgensen on transition assistance on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been talking today with Vince Hokanen and Alan Jorgensen from Transition Assistance and all of the good work that they're doing to help our Minnesota National Guard soldiers and airmen when they come back from deployments and when they are transitioning out of the service. Vince, can you tell me what's a typical example of somebody comes in and they need some kind of help? I suppose it can be anything, walks in the door or calls you on the phone.
Usually it always happens to be about a question. I have a question about this or I have a question about that. Mostly employment, education, looking at using a school benefit. Some of the other problems that we run into or some of the other things we see may include problems like a medical issue or something like that. But mostly it's education on understanding the benefits that they're entitled to. They don't, a lot of times service members just don't understand all the language and all the red tape associated with actually achieving the benefit. They don't know who to go to see. And often, as Alan said earlier, it is what we've seen in the last couple of years is a lot about under education, underemployment, or they want to get in the VA to get some medical issues taken care of or something like that. Those are the three big ones.
So you're pretty much putting them in touch with the right people and helping them fill out the right forms and get the thing started, whatever area they're working on.
Absolutely. We can help them do the 1010EZ, which is enrollment in the VA. We can get them in the Minneapolis VA or the St. Cloud VA and get them enrolled in the UAF-OAF program if they deployed. They get medical coverage for a few years and up 5 years and even longer in terms of those issues. And if they get service-connected for that particular issue, then they can get seen for that long-term.
Alan, one of the things that Vince talked about in the first segment was financial assistance. Can you help your soldiers and airmen with some financial counseling and financial assistance, those kind of areas?
Sure. The Minnesota National Guard has some personal financial counselors on staff that we can connect them to, and they're really good at explaining the financial piece to it, about setting a budget and some of those tools to help them manage their money as well. And if somebody's in a financial hardship, then we can refer them to the family assistance centers and things like that they can go through. And there's certain grants and assistance available that they can go to and kind of help ease the financial burden of a financial hardship and help the soldiers and their families get back on their feet from something that might have happened, if it was somehow tied back into their military service.
And is there also some legal assistance available if they need it from time to time?
Yes. Oh, yeah. There's legal assistance through the JAG. We can connect them with the JAG, and there's certain things that they can do for the veterans and the Minnesota National Guard members.
One of our partner agencies that we work with the legal assistance is MACV. JAG is usually, strictly on a military issue, wills and this sort of thing. But when it comes to specific legal assistance, we can refer veterans to the MACV, which is Minnesota Area Council for Veterans. And they do legal clinics all the time, sponsored by the VA. And they're funded by the VA as well in terms of they get grants from them. And other agencies, MACV. So they're the ones that we can help with the legal clinics. Or I even have a few guys that I know that are lawyers in the local area who will take on pro bono work for our service members.
And help them out going forward. CPAs, lawyers, all those
Absolutely.
Kind of things. Vince, I know that you get a lot of these cases, but in the last year we heard the story of one particular soldier that had some financial issues and maybe had some PTSD issues and was thinking about suicide, and you got involved and got MACV in, and you got the Family Assistance Centers in, and you got the Minnesota Military Family Foundation in, and saved one, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. It was a total team effort. There were several agencies involved, a lot of people that were working with R3SP, the Risk Resiliency Reduction Group, works for the J1 in the Minnesota Guard. There were a lot of folks. It was a team effort. But yes, that's one great example that you mentioned where service member was having setbacks, had a lot of issues. They contacted me, and we worked through every one of their issues step by step by step, giving them hope, giving them assurance, we'll get through this, come out the other end, back on his feet. Family's good to go.
And you pulled in multiple agencies.
Yeah, there was about 13 or so on that one altogether.
That was a great story and a wonderful piece of work, Vince.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But as Al said earlier, it's a real privilege.
Well, you were in the right place in the right time, and the chaplain background, and you had to come in useful on that one, too.
Well, we love people.
Alan, I want to ask you, health and life insurance, do they come in with those kind of issues as well?
Oh yes. The military has the Servicemen's Group Life Insurance, but also there's a rider to it. If they're in the service and have that life insurance, they have what they call TSGLI, which is for traumatic. And I've had the opportunity three times now in the past few years to help soldiers and veterans with this that did not even realize they had it. So they're at home, they're getting a car accident or an accident swimming or something, and they get hospitalized and it's a traumatic event. And if they have a certain amount of stay in a hospital, or if there's certain things that they can't do for their daily living and they need assistance for, and there's certain criteria, they get anywhere between $25,000 to $100,000 of this TSGLI insurance. All three of those individuals that I talked to and I spoke with had no idea on that was even available. So it's a great privilege and an honor to be able to sit down with somebody and explain this to them and tell them, hey, you've been paying this premium. You didn't know it, but you've been paying this premium, and it's available to you. Here's what we got to do. And help them fill out the forms. And that guy called me up one day. I'll never forget it. He called me up and says, I just had a huge deposit of $50,000 in my bank account. And I'm like, well, spend it wisely. It's yours. You pay the premium. And in fact, if you're to go out and get into a second accident and have the same exact thing, I hope that doesn't happen, but it's perpetual. You'll get that again because you still have that insurance. So those are the great stories that you can, help people, and they don't understand that they have it. It really makes me feel good, and Vince feel good when we can help people out that way. So,
we're speaking with Vince Hokanen and Alan Jorgensen from Transition Assistance on Minnesota Military Radio. Vince, you must really love your job. You get to help people all day, every day.
It's a joy. I mean, seriously, I like fixing things, tinkering around the garage, fixing on a three-wheelers, motorcycle, whatnot. And when it comes to this, you talk about long-lasting impact where you can change lives and help fix and mitigate problems for people, our service members. They wear the uniform. I wear the uniform. I count it as a joy and a privilege. I'm not here for rank and money. I could care less about that stuff. I love what I do. And particularly in this lane as a transition assistance advisor, all we do is help service members. All we do is fix and manage problems. And it's just right up my alley. I love doing this kind of thing, and I love bulldogging for service members who've earned it. They wore the uniform. They deployed. They risked their lives. They've served for many, many years. Hey, I would like to have someone like me in their hip pocket.
Very good, Chaplain. Alan, I know that there's a lot of training before our soldiers and airmen deploy, and when they come back and they go to the training for it and they learn about all the resources and their families learn about it. You guys must be involved in those sessions as well.
Yes, we are. It starts with the MOB station. When they come back, they go back down to a DMOB site. Let's just use Fort Hood, for example, and Vince or I will travel down there and kind of greet them off the plane. And that's their first contact with us. And we'll sit there and we'll talk. We'll have an opportunity to discuss what we can do as transition assistance advisors. And then we'll also be available to answer their questions and kind of set the stage for the resources there at the DMOB. And then coming back with the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, the 30-day and the 60-day reintegration events that the units hold. We're there as well to be available to answer questions and help provide resources and like Vince says, bulldog for them if needed.
And Alan, what's the best way for our listeners and our soldiers and airmen to get a hold of you?
Well, to get a hold of me, they can call me at 651-282-4667, or they can email me at allan.e.jorgensen.ctr@mail.mil.
And we'll put some links up on our Minnesota Military Radio Facebook page so that they can figure out where to go. Vince, I'm going to give you the last word. We've got about a minute left. It's Easter weekend, and I, for one, am certainly happy that you two guys are out there helping our soldiers and airmen with all kinds of needs.
You know, this last Sunday was Palm Sunday, Tom, and the scene right before Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, he healed a blind man so that he could see who Jesus was, right? We're talking about Easter now, coming up on Sunday. It's not very different with reference to the spiritual aspect of seeing who God really is. hey, in our lane, it's very similar. We can help guide you so that you can see that you have the access to the benefits. We can be your eyes and ears and help you attain and get access to what you've earned. And so we think about the resurrection on Sunday and all the things that are glorious around that, and we have new life. There is hope for tomorrow.
Well done, Chaplain. I knew I had to let you up on the religious side of the house before the end of the interview today.
I appreciate that, Tom. Thanks.
Gentlemen, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Vince Hokanen and Alan Jorgensen from the Transition Assistance. Please stay with us. We'll be back with more Minnesota Military Radio in just a moment. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to visit with Scott Mills, Director of Veterans Employment and Training Services. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly message from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelato.
Our op tempo, operational tempo for the non-military listener, is full speed ahead. As a nation, we're entering our 14th year of armed conflict. Now more than ever, we need to continue to deliver on our promise to take care of veterans. Waves of veterans are still coming home. Now is when we really need to roll up our sleeves and get to work. The sooner and more comprehensively we can do that, the more we are setting our veterans and their families up for success. To all the veterans that served, thank you for raising your right hand to protect and defend this great nation. To all the families who were drafted, thank you for enduring and sacrificing alongside your veteran. And to all the elected officials, communities, and organizations throughout Minnesota who have demonstrated support, thank you for helping us bring our veterans all the way home. We are well on the way to helping our veterans make that journey.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelato. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Scott Mills, the Director of Veterans Employment and Training Services for the U.S. Department of Labor. Scott, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. Thanks. It's nice to be here again.
Feels strange to call you Scott because I know you in your military career as a Sergeant Major. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about how long you served?
Well, I served for 27 years, majority of that in the Minnesota Army National Guard, and retired as the State Command Sergeant Major.
And you knew the gentleman we just heard.
Very well. I worked for him, as a matter of fact. He's the individual that hired me initially.
So he was the Adjutant General prior to General Nash.
Yes.
And now he's the Commissioner over at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and I'm sure you still work with him and see him quite often.
Absolutely, I do.
Scott, it still doesn't feel right to call you that, but I'll try today. Transition Assistance Program from the Department of Labor. Can you tell us what that's all about?
Well, absolutely I can, and I know that Alan and Vince were on previously, and I'm going to give you the overall perspective of the program. The Transition Assistance Program is really a joint effort by the Department of Defense, which was represented by Vince and Alan today, the Department of Veterans Affairs, and the Department of Labor. And each one of us has a piece to the overall transition assistance program. There's being the counseling, pre-separation type activities, the VA with the benefits type activities, explaining all the benefits to service members. And then the Department of Labor, who I represent today, is the three-day employment workshop where we prepare them for employment challenges, help them prepare the resume, run them through some mock interviews, teach them how to find meaningful employment in today's marketplace, which involves using websites and other multimedia type areas that they might not have been used to.
And maybe teach them how to speak English instead of speaking military.
Well, that's one of the biggest challenges. That's something that we work really hard with them on, is that transition from military to civilian. And it's, you know, having just done that, I understand exactly how difficult it can be.
Scott, we hear that a lot of the folks come out of the military and they're looking for civilian employment, and they struggle with the idea of explaining, you know, if a guy's in artillery, if a guy's a tanker, if he's an NCO or an officer, he's led men, he's been a supervisor. How do you take all of that experience and put it in language that a civilian employer is going to understand?
Well, that's exactly what the DOLEW works on, is teaching them how to translate their military careers and all the experiences that they had into a format that the civilian workforce would understand. And you'll hear from somebody later who will be able to address some of those things and how they've assisted us with that as well.
So you mentioned a three-day workshop. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Absolutely. The three-day workshop is aimed at, you know, career exploration, that transition of military skills to civilian skills. There's a large portion of the time periods spent on that. We work with their 30-day or 30-second elevator speech, resumes, both federal and civilian resumes, so depending on what they want to do with their careers. We focus them in that direction, and then we round it up with a panel opportunity by some of the local corporate partners in the TAP program.
So they come in and actually put them through a mock interview, something like that?
You know, we haven't had them actually do that. They do have the opportunity to sit in front of them and review their resume with them, give them some pointers. They get to ask the panel all types of employment-type questions. What are you looking for when you're looking at resumes and all kinds of different answering question period, I think, has been the most benefit to our service members.
We're speaking with Scott Mills, the Director of Veteran Employment and Training Services for the Department of Labor on Minnesota Military Radio. Scott, I understand you had some involvement in shaping the national program?
Yeah, fortunately for me, right after being employed by the Department of Labor and obviously retiring from the military, hadn't gone through the Transition Assistance Program, they asked me to go to Denver, Colorado, and spend a couple of weeks assisting a team of folks from all over the country in rewriting the program. So we did. We sat down and we took input from all the services and employers, folks who had also been through the Transition Assistance Program, and we completely revamped this program. So the program that we are offering today is supersedes a program that had not been touched for probably in excess of 15 years.
And, of course, we've had just thousands and thousands of folks, even in the Minnesota National Guard, deployed and coming back and transitioning. And I have to ask you this now. You were the senior enlisted advisor to the Adjutant General, Command Sergeant Major. Did you have trouble with the transition?
Just dressing. To be quite honest with you, my role with the Department of Labor is very comparable. I still get to take care of service members, address their concerns, help them resolve problems with all the programs that we have. The hardest part for me was dressing, because I'm still in contact with the majority of soldiers, airmen, sailors, and Marines at some point in time over the course of the week. So I'm still right there with them. I just dress different.
And then you had to learn how to get a civilian haircut.
Now you're picking on me.
For our listeners, the last time I saw the Sergeant Major, he had a good military short haircut, and he's grown it out, and I'm jealous because I can't grow mine out. Scott, what are some of the changes that you actually made then in the Minnesota program, and how are they working?
Some of the changes that we made here are we have started bringing in employer panels to speak with our service members as they're getting ready to leave the program. So they've completed 5 days of training. They're working on their resumes. They're sharpening their interview skills. And we've brought in a panel of local corporate partners. And I'll keep them nameless right now, but they come and sit with our service members, and we have a roundtable type exercise where the employers can talk about what they're looking for when they're hiring folks, what difficulties they have with service members or veterans and their resumes, and then we give the service members the opportunity to ask the panels any questions that they would like. So there's a huge benefit, and it continually reinforces the training that they just went through for the last 5 days.
So, Scott, how do you connect with the service members that are going through these transitions?
We are there as they're going through the program.
So how do they find your program is what I'm asking.
Well, it's a requirement. The VOW Act has made it a requirement. So anybody leaving the service, anybody who's deployed for more than 188 days, unless their commander says they don't have to, has got to go through the Transition Assistance Program at some location throughout the United States.
So it's part of the out-processing.
It's part of the out-processing. It's part of the redeployment process for those who are unemployed or underemployed. They're required to go through this training.
So how are they taken to it? Do they like it? Do they appreciate what you're offering?
The folks that are very serious, that are either leaving the military or are underemployed and looking for other opportunities, take it very seriously. And you can see that enthusiasm as they're going through the program. But, you know, some of our younger folks have other things that they're more concerned about. It might be getting back to school. It might be getting back to their significant other. So they're maybe not as focused as we'd like them to be.
So you can kind of tell the ones that really need this, they're making their mental checklist, and I've got to do this, 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 and this. And
absolutely. It's very evident.
So do you have some follow-up programs with them then once they get out there and start?
We have local programs, local workforce centers that help support this process, and they're available to all the veterans and service members and their spouses. There's 48 workforce centers throughout the state of Minnesota.
So there's plenty of help out there if they need it.
Plenty of help.
Scott, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to meet a civilian employer that you partner with and get their perspective on the Transition Assistance Program from the Department of Labor. We've been talking to Scott Mills, the Director of Veterans Employment and Training on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Scott Mills, Director of Veterans Employment and Training Services at the Department of Labor. And Scott, I know that you brought a guest with you today, one of the businesses that you partner with. Could you introduce her for us?
Absolutely. Tom, it's a pleasure for me to introduce Janine Patterson, who's the Director of Recruiting Strategy for Ameriprise Financial, and she's been a wonderful partner in the employment efforts for veterans and service members in Minnesota.
Janine, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Can you tell us a little bit, how did you get involved with the Department of Labor and Scott Mills on this program?
Sure. Ameriprise Financial is involved with Project Patriot, which is a local group of companies that are coming together to figure out strategies for hiring and supporting military veterans in their transition. And so upon meeting, he presented us with the opportunity to attend a TAP session and participate in a panel discussion with transitioning service members, as well as help them with resume writing. And so I think we've done that maybe five or six times so far. And it's something we enjoy and feel is necessary to make sure veterans are ready to make that transition.
Now, during the course of those sessions, you must have learned something about service members. And is there a pattern in each of the sessions? What have you learned?
I have learned a lot. And one thing I've learned is that military veterans represent some of the best talent in the workforce today. And a lot of that is based on your training, the discipline, commitment, the leadership skills that are inherent in every veteran. And that oftentimes aligns with many of the priorities and values that we have in the organization. One of the things I also learned that was surprising to me is that transitioning to the civilian workforce is frightening for veterans. No matter what their rank, I think it can be an intimidating process because it is somewhat very different, actually, from what they've experienced in the military. And so getting ahead of that process and helping veterans understand what to expect, managing their expectations, really helps set them up for success and helps to address some of those questions they have.
It would make sense that anytime you go from the known to the unknown, you're going to have some apprehension. And if they get a little guidance and a little help during the Transition Assistance Program, then that's going to give them a leg up and the ability to move forward.
Absolutely. And one of the things I've observed is just their willingness to kind of be vulnerable and admit what they don't know and ask a lot of really great questions. And so many organizations in the Twin Cities have made a commitment to hiring veterans, and it's a pleasure to be able to sit in front of these individuals and give them guidance so that once they are in the process, they find success.
So, Janine, what advice would you have for service members going through this transition?
The first thing I would tell them is to be confident in their skills and their experience. I think it's meaningful. It's challenging to make that direct connection depending on what they did in the military, but it's not an insurmountable obstacle. I think they just have to, the second thing I would say is network with people outside of the military and, make sure that the language in their resume and the language that they're using in screening interviews pertains to the position they're applying for. Translating skills isn't only the responsibility of the veteran. Organizations also have to invest time in making sure that recruiters and hiring leaders understand that dynamic as well, and that we're able to extract and ask questions to help make better connections. But the veterans also need to meet us halfway by being careful about using too much military jargon in their resumes and really making direct links.
So has your firm had good experience hiring veterans?
We have. We have quite a few veterans in our organization. We are a proud member of the 100,000 Jobs Mission, which is a coalition of over 160 companies nationwide. And we report our hiring at an aggregate level through that initiative, which also supports the Joining Forces initiative that First Lady Michelle Obama, and Dr. Biden started. And so we do participate with that initiative as a way of making sure our numbers are known, but also to gain best practices from other employers that have done this and are further along in the process than we are.
Janine, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Scott, if all your civilian employers are as good as Janine, you've got some great partners.
Well, we're very fortunate here in Minnesota, and because we do have a great partnership with all the major employers here in the state of Minnesota, and we're fortunate. Janine's been a remarkable partner and a great asset for us.
Scott, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio. Good to see you back.
Thank you. Good to see you again, Tom.
That was Scott Mills and Janine Patterson talking about the Transition Assistance Program with the Department of Labor. Joining me now is the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. Sergeant Major, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hello, Tom. It is, once again, great to speak with you today.
I know you're traveling and you're calling in from a busy schedule, but we've been talking today about transition assistance and all the things that the Minnesota National Guard does to help our soldiers and airmen.
Yeah, well, first off, I'll tell you, I try to make sure that I'm never too busy to call in because I think it's important to have this continued dialogue with you. The benefits that we provide to our soldiers and airmen as they're getting ready to transition out are very, very important, and as you know, because we've promoted it, you've promoted it many times on your program, is the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Network, and that website in particular, the resources available there, in addition to our Military OneSource, two great resources available to all of our service members, regardless of branch, to help them as they transition out of military service, or, of course, help them while they're in military service.
And, of course, when they're getting off active duty or they're transitioning out, they have to get ready for to come back and be a civilian and go to work like the rest of us.
Yeah, they most certainly do. And, that's why, my advice, of course, is that it's not too early to start the plan. You know, even that soldier that's in their initial contract has got to start planning for when that day does come because, speaking from experience, now hitting my over 27 years of service, it's gone by very, very fast. So, you've got to take care of, we have to make sure we take advantage of all of the benefits and resources available to us, things like our education benefits package. You know, don't leave any money on the table is what I say. Use it now and get those degrees, get that education knocked out, prepare yourself for life after the military because it's coming.
And one of the key things is to translate all of that experience and management experience from in the military into language that civilian employers can understand.
I think that's probably one of the hardest things for our service members to do because we get into a life of using acronyms. And, you're going to have acronyms. You've heard acronyms already on the program. You know, what's TAP? What does all this stuff mean? And, what is an MOS? You know, it's a military occupational skill. Well, what is all that stuff? What does it mean? To a normal civilian, Joe Schmo on the street doesn't mean anything to him. So we've got to make sure that employers, prospective employers, understand what our experiences do bring to the table, what leadership experiences we bring, and what all those schools that we went to, how that can positively impact employment for us outside of the military.
Sergeant Major, did you have a quote for us today that was relevant to this discussion?
Absolutely. This is a quote I've grown up with, and you know, a lot of arguments about who actually originated it, but I'm going to use the one that's by Ben Franklin, and he said, by failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail. And that's the message I want to make sure I leave with all of our service members, and quite honestly, anybody listening to the program, whether they've served or not, that we should always be planning, because we just don't want to fail in our preparation for what comes next.
Sergeant Major, I'm impressed every time I talk to you. You're out doing something to help your soldiers and airmen, and not only help them be better as service members, but better when they finally retire and go back to work full-time in the civilian world.
Well, you know, that's what the Adjutant General has charged me to do. I need to get out. I need to visit soldiers. I need to go to where the action is, per to say, or, you know, so to speak. And so that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to live up to that for the Adjutant General. I've got 3 years to make the best impact I possibly can, and I am not going to lose an opportunity.
Sergeant Major, just about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
Yep. You know, once again, preparing is essential. All of our service members and listeners out there, plan for the future. It's right there. I mean, we say tomorrow never comes, but guess what? It really does, and we got to be ready for it when it gets here. So make the plans now, because it's never too early to plan.
Sergeant Major, thanks for joining us again today.
Hey, Tom, I appreciate the opportunity, and I look forward to speaking with you again in the near future.
Thank you, sir. That was the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. We have one message today. The dates for the next two World War II honor flights are April 11th and May 16th. We invite all volunteers to show up at the Humphrey Terminal Baggage Claim at 10 p.m. on those Saturdays to welcome our veterans home from their day visiting Washington, D.C. That's April 11th and May 16th. Let's give them a big welcome home. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Vince Hokanen and Alan Jorgensen, Scott Mills and Janine Patterson, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham, Commissioner Larry Shelton of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about the Twin Cities chapter of Team Red, White, and Blue, and hear from Gary Sinise, as you all know, Lieutenant Dan, about what his foundation has been doing for wounded warriors in Minnesota and across the country. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.